Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pick up at verse 10. And we'll go through. Paul says, verse 10, I'll just read this. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. What's the matter? The movies have to be right? They have to portray it. Must be an accurate portrayal, right? Maybe we'll cover this. Maybe it'll come out. But Paul, keeping in mind, he's talking about the order in the assembly, and he's getting the Corinthian assembly to function in order. You know, he says in verse 14, God is not the author of confusion. Do you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Whenever you see something going wrong, not only with you, but in the assembly, is you know it's not God's fault. He is not the author of confusion. We are. When people function in the flesh on their own free will, that's usually when things get in a confusing state. I was reading something last night. It was just cursory reading, where Jeroboam and Rehoboam, when the nation split, and they set up two golden. He set up two golden calves. Jeroboam did, and he said, "It's too much for you to go down to Jerusalem. You can worship right here." Mm-hmm. He knew if they went back to worship, that they would stay there. And he said, if they go and stay, then they're going to seek to kill me, because he revolted against Rehoboam. So the scripture said that he set up the calf to worship in Dan and another one in Bethel. And he set up a feast day, and the scripture said he set up a feast day of his own device. And I thought, maybe not exactly like that, but it was of his own choosing. Mm-hmm. And they were already feast days set up for the nation. And he said, you know what, I'll pick a feast day, whatever I like. This is on the 7th. Well, we're going to make this one on the 9th. Well, what's the reason? I just want to be on the 9th. But that was the beginning of their idolatry. The nation split into two sections, the 10 tribes and then two tribes. But I said all that to say that God didn't sanction that, even though it was part of their punishment. But that's what Jeroboam did, not God. And when we pick things and function out of order, that's our doing. And when you look at an assembly that has I'm not saying this for me. I'm not a chauvinist. I'm not an anti-feminist. I'm not a misogynist. I'm not a hater of women. When you have an assembly that's run by a woman or women, is that orderly, or is it out of order? And I'm all for equal activity in the body. I think you would agree with that. But there's, you can't go outside of the order. So if when the guy, he says, I went into an assembly Sunday, and it wasn't where I was supposed to be. I was going to make a quick stop and then go to the next place and then come here. So I made the quick stop, and when I went in, the normal guys were not there. There was a lady conducting the Sunday school, and I hit the door, and when I pushed it, and I said in my mind, I actually said it a little, I said, really?
Oh, I said that out loud.
And, well, I was by myself, but, and I just, and it's nothing personal, just business.
But it's like, really? Because they should know.
And that's the thing, is you can't tell. You can't go into someone else's assembly and say, that's out of order, brother. Now, you might show an individual. So when Paul writes, that's what he said in, look at verse 11, verse 2, 11 and 2. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. But... Don't you like that? He starts off good, positive, and then he puts the correction in. He says, I thank God that you remember me, you keep the other ordinance, but I would have you know. And then he goes into the order, which tells you that they were functioning out of order. And he gives them the information, not from him, but from God. Is that in your book?
Yes.
Yeah. How about yours? All right. Yours?
Yes.
So the same thing we read, they're in other assemblies.
Right.
What's wrong?
They're not following us.
They pick and choose.
Or they say it's not relevant for today.
Or Paul's a chauvinist.
Yes.
He can't. He's not with today. He's not with it.
He's not progressive.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I should ask this question, but I thought it was, I don't know why, I thought it was okay if a woman taught Sunday school to children. I don't know if this should be counseled or not.
He said he thought it was okay if a woman taught Sunday school
children.
Operative word. Is it okay for a woman to teach Sunday school children?
It talks about teaching the children.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that the order that they come up
with?
Yeah.
But
the woman shouldn't be teaching the men.
Right. When you're out of order is when you are over the men in the assembly.
I got you.
So the moment you step into those shoes, then it's out of order. Now, okay. So he says, and he goes through the order. We're not going to go back that far again. But he says, because the man is the representative, because God has chosen the man to be his representative here, I think we covered that well enough so we know that he is God's representative here. God has entrusted him with the leadership position. And then the woman is under him and the children under their jurisdiction. And he says, but in verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. With me? For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And that's authority. To show that she is in subjection. That I do have a leader. I do have a head. I'm not functioning on my own. or I'm not usurping another position. And he said, not because of the assembly. Notice that? He said, because of the angels.
I miss you.
He said in verse 10, he says, for this cause, because the man was created for the woman, or the woman was created for the man, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now you think, why is he? I'm sure the Corinthians were looking just like you are.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Huh?
Because of the angels.
What we read in 1 Corinthians 4, 9.
We read in 4, 9 that what? He said that we are a spectacle unto the world, unto men. But even with that, you know what Paul, this is where, remember James, we were talking about background, foundation. What Paul will go through and he'll drop little seedlings of truth that he told the Corinthians in chapter 2, he said, you're not, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes. Even as, because you're yet carnal. He says, I can't tell you some things that I would like to tell you. He said, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, mature.
That's cool.
So, do you think about when the writer of Hebrews talked about Melchizedek? He said, of whom we have many things to say, but you are dull of hearing. He says, I would love to talk to you about Melchizedek, but you can't handle that.
We wish they hadn't
been dull of hearing, right? So same way what Paul is saying here, he doesn't explain it here.
Right.
He just says, because of the angels. Well, now we're way past the Corinthians in our understanding somewhat, right? So we know that today, well, hold your hand there. We have the privilege of, we have the privilege of having the word, the completed word of God. So we can look at some things. For example, look at Ephesians chapter 3 and 5. And then we're going to run back home. We don't want to. Ephesians 3, let's start at verse 8. 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now here's just part of Paul's progressiveness. He says, I want all men to see what is the what? Fellowship of the mystery. I want you to be able to enjoy this like I do. But he couldn't lay that down to the Corinthians, could he? He could just give them a little bit of that. A little bit of, like when Ed went out with Madison. I'm sure you had a nice meal, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
She had a piece of chicken. That's it. You had, what did you have, sir? fried chicken. But I'm sure he had a very tasty meal. Filling.
It was chewy.
But she didn't enjoy it like you did. For whatever reason. Her level of maturity, where I bet she was hungry when she got to where she was going.
Oh, yeah.
And probably wish she had have eaten a lot more than she did.
Yeah.
But for the Corinthians, Paul says, I can't put the chewy in front of you. If I give you this little nugget, then you'll have a problem with that. So he's talking about the gospel. He says, now I want you to see what the fellowship of this is. Matter of fact, it's coincidental that he tells the Ephesians when he in Acts 20, he says, I have kept back nothing that is profitable for you. He said, I taught you publicly and from house to house for the space of 3 years. You think they got some good information?
Mm-hmm.
Sure they did. Now, but he says, I said all that to say, he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, grab one of your friends and say, let me ask you something. Let's talk. You love the Lord, right? And they'll say, yeah, sure I do. And you ask them, say, let's talk about the fellowship of the mystery for a moment. And or let's talk about the manifold wisdom of God and how he's making the manifold wisdom of God known to the angels, to the principalities and powers by us. And see how long that conversation is.
Or how one-sided it is.
But that's why Paul says that's his end. He wants us to enjoy that fellowship. That's for all believers. So you know that's how much information that we have to close the gap on. Not just for them, but for ourselves. We're in a constant learning mode ourselves. So 9 out of 10 believers doesn't know that their behavior is being observed by the principalities and powers.
I think you gave it too much. 9 out of 10, I think you gave that too much.
8 out of 10?
No, I think it's more like
9.75.
Oh, two.
Out of 100.
But, and then you have to ask, well, why? Why does God want to make that impression for them? Why is God using us to teach them the manifold wisdom of God?
Probably because, I mean, a third of them left, and then when all of this gets wrapped up, he's going to be like, well, should have studied. I knew what I was doing. You didn't think I did.
I like that. If there's one thing, you won't follow a leader if you don't think they know what they're doing. That's why we're talking about Rehoboam. And when Rehoboam went to the elders and he says, I'm ready to take over. What should I do? How should I lead them? And he says, well, he went to the young men instead of the old men. The old men said, be gentle with them. The younger men said, you tell them that my father was heavy on you, but my little finger will be thicker than my father's loins. So he took the young advice. And
didn't the Lord say that it's a curse on a country when you've got the children leading?
The children.
To that effect, there's a...
And the women.
Right, and the women.
But no offense.
So he's going to the kids for his advice. Uh-huh.
So, and that's where that was a downfall.
Yeah, the Lord.
But why did I go there?
Why are the angels watching us?
The Rehoboam, he didn't think that the older men knew anything that they could instruct him and it'd be beneficial. But
what did I just read here? It's not relevant today.
It's not. That's what they feel, right? The information is not relative. But when Paul does that, he says, "Now you have this information, and you can show the manifold wisdom of God." When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the land, he gave them all these laws. And he said, "Now you do these things." He said, "When you do these things, this will be your wisdom in the sight of the nations. And they'll look at you and they'll say, what a wise and understanding people." Not because they were, but because they had the information that made them that way. We have the information that shows the manifold wisdom of God. If we listen. So when you read and listen, right? So when the principalities and powers see the church, the body of Christ, operating in the wisdom of God, and they see the grace of God being manifest in our lives, how we handle each situation, they don't. You don't think so, but they say, "Wow, God picked that man. Look at that." You know what I think about? Say it.
Look what God's doing with that chunk of coal.
Look who that chunk of coal. What? Right. You know, I said something at one meeting where. When God was forming Adam from the dust of the ground, and the angels were there. They've already seen the creation, shouted for joy, and when they see him forming Adam, they probably, what's he doing? What's he doing now? And then he has a man, and he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and they look at them. And he kind of looks like them. And I bet you they're thinking, he said, "Well, this is the new ruler." That? You know, you say, that won't work. That's mistake number two. He's nothing like them. He's not a celestial man. He was of the earth. But the wisdom of God was in that man if he would have continued. What about you? Let's get back to Corinthians. So he says, but by the church, he says, being known by the manifold wisdom of God, and we're a part of his eternal purpose. God knows that. Christ knows that. The devil knows that. Paul knew that. The mature believers knew that, but most of us today don't know that. How can you function properly where they don't even listen to Paul? They don't. Who is he? He's not Jesus. You're putting Paul above Jesus. So, but anyway, back to Corinthians.
Did you want to do Ephesians 5?
Say it again.
Ephesians 3 and 5.
Oh, okay. 3 and 5. Okay. If you insist. Chapter Ephesians 5, verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might."
Oh, chapter 6.
Chapter, yes, I'm sorry, 6. Thank you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the whole battle now is a spiritual battle. And look at, drop down the verse. He gives you the armor. We're not going to cover that part. But he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 18. And he says, and for me, Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In particular, verse 18, he says, praying always for all saints, with all prayer and supplication. You know, that's just, that's asking, and asking God to supply what's needed. You know, most saints don't even know they're in a war, in a battle, which means more than likely, 1 Timothy. I don't know. We're going to go back to...
Not knowing they're in a war, they're constantly giving up ground.
I want you to say giving up ground.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Now this is in a slightly different light, but the principle is here. 2:24, Paul says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Most believers are captives. They're free in Christ, and yet they're captives. Not just the flesh. They're captive because of the doctrine. The Lord said this, you know, if I make you free, how free are you?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. We're free. Grace has freed us. But because of the doctrine, they voluntarily went under. When you leave Paul, you voluntarily go. That's why when he told the Galatians, why do you desire again to be in what? And when you leave Paul and his doctrine, guess where you're going? Some type of bondage. If it's not by the, well, if it's by the workers that put you to work, but behind that is it's Satan. It's the adversary. Because he knows if you walk in this doctrine, you not only are free, but you are magnifying the grace of God when you walk in this. And when you magnify the grace of God, guess what it does? It shows them the manifold wisdom. If I can keep you from walking in that, it doesn't show them anything about how wise God is.
Satan's like, I got to prove them to the third that I was right and y'all are wrong.
He said, you fought. Look at that. See that?
Mm-hmm.
I think about this often. When I'm going to different places I go to, some of these places are right next to each other. Across the street.
Yeah.
with a different doctrine. Around the corner, a different doctrine. Go up a block, yet another doctrine. One place, this place, they had an old assembly. They went right up maybe 500 yards, built a great big new assembly. Another church came in and they rent the small assembly. It's in there, they share the same parking lot. Y'all, not.
This
is the big church. Right here. This is their parking lot. This is their old church. The little church. You come in the driveway right here. This is the exit over here. Instead of these people, if they preach the same thing, if they follow Paul, if they were of one mind, one accord, couldn't they all go in here?
Sure.
You got, here's a church here, another church renting from them, the same block, there's another church on the corner here, there's one right here. Four churches, I can hit them with a rock. Full of captives.
And having pride in that captivity.
Yeah.
You say, I don't believe that. You know how I know? Because I go in. And all, I hear it. You know, I like Rambo. When they call Rambo, they says, listen, we want you to go in here. We want you to take pictures. We've heard that there's some captives there. We want you to go in and take pictures. So he says, okay, well, what if I see some of them? He says, just take pictures.
Come there.
So he said, well, am I supposed to leave him? Just take pictures. He goes in, and guess what he does? He sees them. And he goes in, he sees a whole bunch of them. And they're all captives. And the one man, he says, what year is it? And he says, it's 1984. And he says, which tells me he was way out of the game. When we go in to you meet the captives, and they say, what year is it? What's God doing today? And you say, but you know, you when you start talking about some of the wisdom of God, that's how you know he's what?
Captive.
What's your job?
Set them free.
Take pictures.
And you have to find a way to get him out of there.
Yeah.
So that's just a bad example, but that's the way I see it.
That's an appropriate example.
So, but. Praying. You're praying. When I go and talk to these people, before I get there, I'm saying, Lord, if I find one, I know there's much, but one who wants to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. If you don't know, you're a captive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, hey, man, did you know that you're a captive? I'm Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. And that's how they think. That's why I say you can be. Salvation is just, you're free. But yet you can still be a captive. Isn't that ironic? Free as free can be. And yet you're not enjoying the freedom. I think, did I, Or a guy was telling me one day, he says, how they train elephants. Mm-hmm. Were you talking about that? And he said, when they're little, they chain them to a big weight so they can't go anywhere. And then by the time they get older, and they don't even have to have the weight on it. They just put the chain on it. And they look down and see the chain, and they're conditioned that I can't go anywhere. Well, that's what believers, you know what? They go in these buildings, and they think that that's it. This is my job. What'd you do Sunday? I went to church. We had a great time. Praise the Lord. We sang, and preacher, he sure did preach. He thinks he's free. He thinks he's enjoying his freedom. And you say, well, what did he preach about? Oh, Jonah. Or Samson. And you say, how is that displaying the manifold wisdom of God in your life?
It's like Sunday school stories.
You know what? They're just flying over the top. And
why are you still on baby food?
But they, you don't know.
Yeah.
That's why he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and perseverance for all saints. You know, when Paul starts off in Corinthians, we don't get over here. When he starts off in Corinthians, the first thing he says, I thank my God on your behalf. What does that tell you? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, and then chapter 11, and we'll go back to chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 1, he says, verse 4, Paul called to be apostle of Jesus Christ to the church of God at Corinth, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Blake couldn't be here today, Jenny, but I want to thank you on his behalf. But Paul saying to the Corinthians, what does that tell you about the Corinthians? If I got
to
thank...
They don't
even know enough where they are to be thankful for the gifts that they had.
They don't even know what they got.
They don't know what they have and why they have them.
Wow.
And Paul says, first thing I want to thank, I thank God on your behalf for the grace that he's given you. So you meet, this is what I see. When I go into places, and even here, I don't even have to leave my house. When I see that, you know, a person says, I'm trusting Christ, I've trusted Christ, I'm trusting Christ. The first thing I see is what God wants to make them. Well, who God has made them. And then I wonder if they know that. And then it's my job to catch them with guile, to show them who God has made them. Just a little question, you know. But like the army, to be all you can be, that's what you want, is for believers to be all that he's made you. And you know how we know how far off they are. Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Look how far we come every week with the information that we take in.
Mm-hmm.
How much it adds to our being. Does it?
Yeah.
But he said, I thank God on your behalf. Now, back to 10, 11. So there's a whole lot between him thanking God and them being mature. that he's got to lay all these corrective doctrines down to free them, to make them, to bring them to maturity, to have them function orderly so the wisdom of God can be seen in the things that they do. And he says, verse, where are we at? Verse. And he's just making pit stops. Everything he's addressing at least 16 issues. He's running an issue per chapter in our chapters. And those just the ones we know about. So every one he's saying, you can't do this. You can't do this, brother. You shouldn't do this, brother. I want you to know this, brethren. This and every issue to that's why he says when we get finished, he'll say, the rest I'll set in order when I come. Hey, we're not through. This is just some issues that you brought up to me, but there's a lot more, and the rest of it,
we'll have to come.
We'll do that when I get there.
Right, something you'd be working on
until
I get there.
Right. He said, you got a whole handful of things. Like James, you have a house, you know what? There's you have so many issues, you get the main things first. And you say the first thing, you know what? Let's get the roof on and get the air going. And the rest of that stuff we pick up when we get there. And when they show them, they're going to show them, oh, that's wrong, this, that. And you're going to know, what have you been doing? What have you been doing in here? Why is it like this? So when Paul gets to, that's what Corinth, he has to fix a whole lot of things. And this is just one thing. He talks about the order. Okay, verse 10. That's all right. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. 10, 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. In the Lord. This process is God's process. He has designed it that way. He has designed for the man and the woman to function interdependently. Not independently, interdependently of each other. That's from the beginning. That's from the beginning. Where did Eve come from? Out of Adam. Where did Cain, where did Abel come from?
Interdependence.
Out of the woman. Right? Without them two coming together, there's no seed. Mm-hmm. That's everything that God has created them to be interdependent. And they produced everything after their kind. For him. Mm-hmm. He says, and without the two of them, guess what?
Ain't none.
It doesn't work. Got him. So, what's that?
No, I was just not, those things are flying around. They're from the plants, I think.
Oh. 4:12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. We just noticed that. Right? Mm-hmm. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? There you go. Naturally, men, their hair doesn't grow that long. Naturally. Some do. If I let my hair grow, it wouldn't grow as long as Annette's hair. It wouldn't grow as long as if you let your hair grow. It wouldn't. But he says, doesn't nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have a long hair? To have long hair? That's a question. Does not nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long? If you saw a man with long hair,
you think he's a woman.
Yeah.
You think he was a woman?
Yeah.
And you'd say, why don't he
cut
his hair? He looks just like a woman. And if you saw a woman with her hair shaved off, you would say, why does she cut her hair? She looks just like a man. Do you say that? And
it seems unnatural.
It seems unnatural. There's a man, where men, in particular a man, where God said this: if you dedicate yourself to me and take this vow called
Nazarite.
A Nazarite vow, he says, one thing you can't do is drink wine, and the other thing is you can't cut your hair.
That was in a way making him lower.
Right. It was making him
humble,
showing that he was in subjection to God. And it took his pride away. Because they look at him and they would say,
girly man.
Girly man. That's right. So, and he was, but what it was, he was showing that I'm totally dedicated to a higher authority, which was God.
I'll take the shame.
That's why they show these pictures with Jesus with long hair. That's why Samson, most people think Samson was like the, you know, like a big muscular man. He was, you know what, he probably was no bigger than me.
Because God takes the weak to come down the strong.
So when they, that's why it was such a big deal when they said, where is your strength?
It wasn't obvious.
How is it? How is it that he can do these things? You know what? Watch this. Let me see what this is. I can't do that. I'll quote this. When Delilah finally trapped him up and she shaved his locks off. You know what's interesting? I was thinking, you know what, seven is usually like the number for an oath with God, completion, but it's really, it has its root in an oath, a covenant. You know what he does, all these things at these feast days, all these things are by sevens, and it's a covenant that they had made with God, is something that he promised that would come to pass, and they observe these things like the Sabbath. Anyway, I said I'd say that Samson, you know what, I was reading, and he had, this was just cursory information, seven locks. His hair, when he grew his hair, he had it in seven locks. Showing that, you know, I'm in covenant agreement with God. The reason I thought about that, because when Delilah cut his hair, she cut his locks off. And when he woke up, he went to try to go out as at other times. Mm-hmm. And the scripture said this, but he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Mm-hmm. He broke the covenant. He's on his own now. Mm-hmm. He's on his own. And he got out there and he got caught and they put him in shackles, poked his eyes out. Mm-hmm. And while he's sitting there feeling sorry, he says, Lord, just one more time, let me avenge myself and die with the Philistines. And while he's sitting there, you know what's happening while he's waiting? His hair is growing back. And his hair grew back, and then he was able to do that one more time. And the scripture said that he killed more in that hour than he did the whole time while he was with his long hair. So, but the point was that it was the shame, but it identified him that he was in subjection to God, that he was totally dependent on God. That's why they had long hair. But nature, he says, verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a man have long hair, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. That's Paul. He's closing it out. He said, you don't have to put on a cover. If you have long hair, your hair is your covering, because you're the same principle is there. You're showing. Women do their hair differently today. That's why I like the next verse. He says, verse 16. He says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He said, now you don't have to put on a covering if your hair, because I'm just betting, Paul, he said, I'm just betting if you're in order with this, what would you do?
You would not want to offend or hurt someone else's, a weaker brother.
Right. If you want to follow the order as a woman at that time, what would you do? What? Did I tell you that? You just deduced that from the context, didn't you? And if I was a man and I wanted to honor God in that day, what would I do?
I was thinking long. Because of what you said earlier, that you're in subjection. But
right.
That was for the Nazarenes. That wasn't for everybody.
There are special cases.
Right, special cases. And we were talking with the men. You know what? What's interesting is this. Where Paul, the Jews wore head coverings. Mm-hmm. The high priest had a covering. And this is where I'm thinking about this. I say, why is...
Is this like a cut in the communication, isn't it?
Well, you know what?
No longer in subjection when a man puts the covering on?
Well, that's... I'll say this, what I'm thinking is this way. And I could be wrong, and this is just my observation. Is when Paul gets this... When he started getting this new revelation, he knows now, like he said in Galatians, he says, I profited what?
Much in the
Jews. In the what?
In the Jews'
religion. He knew that everything they did now was what? It was a religion. He said that stuff means nothing. That's why you can say we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Well, a Jew, he walks around today with a yarmulke. But in locks. But Paul, you know what? He said, that's nothing. That's just the outward show, but it has no bearing at all in the church of God. That doesn't mean anything today. Isn't this how they can go into the temple, and he knew, you know, that's why he can go in the temple, and I'll take a vow, sure. He knows this. If it can help me, yeah, I'll do it. I'll shape my whatever you want to do. He goes in there and he knows that this is nothing.
Just looking for an opportunity. This,
sure, I'll circumcise Timothy. Sure, I know it doesn't mean a thing.
He was going to the Catholic church.
Yeah. Can't sneak him to the prison.
That's you got it. So when he covers this, when he finishes up, he says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God, none of them.
we don't need to contend with it.
We don't. You know what? You. It's if you want to wear a hat. You know what? In the black church.
Ladies wear hats.
Ladies wear hats. They call it the Baptist lid. They put that. And if you go in, if you're an older woman, they want to know where you.
Okay.
Where you at, girl?
I know you didn't step foot this church, but that's okay.
But to you see how these things carry on by lack of knowledge. So today, well, we you know for the women, as women have short hair, and that's his wife, right?
He's
got
to deal with it.
That's, no,
I'm. You can't stop
her. And,
I'm throwing it out.
So, and really, when it really boils down to it, that's an individual choice. So, I can't say because you did that you're out of order. Because we have what?
No such custom.
And my dad's church, he would be out of order.
But when you have when you are conditioned like that, that's the first thing you default to, the circle of reference that you have, and it could cause a stumbling block. So, but Louise, we have no such custom.
So this is similar to, you know, when he's talking to him about eating the meat. And when he says one man eats herbs, another man eats. It's really about, in other words, using your liberty. Don't, you know, you want to use your liberty to extend grace.
Exactly. You know, that's what the places I go to, you know what, they, and I know they feel this way, is if you go in some places and you don't have a jacket on, if you don't have a suit, a shirt, and tie, and so I know this. So when you see me come in, sometimes, you know, I've already pulled my jacket off because I know that.
We have no such custom.
We have no such custom here. Yes. But when I go, you go in and.
Right. You don't want to be make a. That's the way you want to make a spectacle.
Because they'll look and say,
he's out of respect.
And a lot of times, now that I know them, like if I come in, I have to go up there in front of all, everybody sees me, and they want to know, where's his jacket? He doesn't have a jacket on. He don't have a tie on. Where's his suit?
How do you know he didn't have a jacket?
But in some churches are more relaxed. But if I'm going to talk to them, even though we don't have that custom, what would I do? I need to take the obstacle down.
They might listen to them if you have
that custom. Yes, they will. Because you can say you can talk for an hour, and all you want to know is.
Yep, the whole time it's been eating at them.
Where's his jacket?
You think you know what you're talking about? And you don't even have a jacket.
You don't have nothing. You're always supposed to listen to you. What authority do you
listen?
Have?
You think I'm joking, don't you?
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. Okay. No. I'm telling you, this is serious. This is because they're
conditioned for the circular reference.
I'm not saying that to ridicule them, but that's just to show you what Paul said is, that's why he finished. He says, and to pray for all saints, all prayer and supplication, because they need it.
My last pastor brought up a good point, and they was talking about drinking, and he said that he sustained from drinking, not because it's all right or wrong, but he said he don't want to get caught out and he have a drink mm-hmm. and somebody sees him. He said, you know, because of their, I'm saying ignorance.
Yeah,
weakness, but because of their weakness, mm-hmm. you know, they won't be able to receive from him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
want to be a stumbling block.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's
when
I was ready
to go to Nashville.
Right.
Yeah. That's, well, you know what? We're going to finish with this one verse. Same book. 10:32. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that what? That they may be saved.